Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Politibabble. Today we're going to be talking about wacky ideologies. As always, you're joined by me, Brisha Shaw.
And me, Sam Rowe.
And me, Archibald Elliot.
Yay.
Let's go. We're back for another week. That was our, obviously, first take at the intro. First take.
Yeah.
Normally we do about three or four, but that was that, actually
that was very
second,
good. Very good. Very good.
Can you tell?
Good job, us.
Way, we did Yay. Our job.
As we should be doing.
Yeah, so, okay. Let's do it.
Yep.
Let's do it. How's everyone's week been? How are we doing?
I'm alive.
Are we all living our best lives?
I'm living.
Okay.
and it's your life, and it's your only life, so thus might be your best life. So yes, Sam,
reincarnation's real, then technically this could be our sixth or seventh
life. Hot take there, hot take.
Hot take.
Don't know what that actually means.
You know me, Archie, I am hot.
Yeah.
Let's not objectify people, thank you.
Archie and I exchanged a glance there. Like,
because you know it's true, fellows.
We were overwhelmed by the truth, and it just...
Mm-hmm.
We just don't comment on appearance. We're reserved people.
It's the personality I look for.
I'll be honest, I regularly say Archie's hot, so it's... okay. I can't really.
You regularly
claim that.
Look at Archie's heart, yes.
Yes.
Right. So yeah, let's get stuck into today's episode.
Yeah, we're going to be doing some fun, wacky ideologies. Just we say wacky, you know, just because they're a bit interesting, a bit off the beaten path,
a bit odd.
Oddities. So we'll start off with my choice, primitivism. Primitivism is a mode of aesthetic idealization and political ideology that emulates or aspires to. Recreate a primitive society. So what this means is if someone's a primitivist and believes in primitivism, they want to create a society based on what would be generally considered, I think they describe it as pre-civilization. So the idea that it doesn't have the industry we have today, doesn't have the economies that we have today. It's entirely based, but caveman style.
And doesn't have the snowflakes we have today.
Doesn't have the liberals. Get them out.
Would that be like Jesus time?
No. Earlier.
Before Jesus time. Yeah,
yes. Way before Jesus. We're talking like spears, discovering fire.
Yeah.
Like,
but then when you get to a stage where you just...
evolve.
Yeah, get to the stage where we're at now, do they just maintain...
They maintain it.
If you think of, like, progressives are people who look at society and think it needs to move forward.
Yeah.
Conservatives are people who look at society and think it needs to be maintained as it is. A primitivist looks at society and thinks it needs to be pushed back. Evolution, societal evolution, is a mistake. It is an error.
Yeah.
And so, go back to monkey.
Checkmate.
Monk. Go back to monk.
Yes. It is quite an interesting ideology, because you think about how far we've come.
Yeah.
With kind of the evolution of science, the industrialization, and where we are now, instead it wants to go right back to the beginning, which I actually suppose, if you could reset the Earth to how it was so long ago, with the knowledge we have today, we could have a much better world.
There's almost a sense to it in that it's posing the question: can society actually be sustainable? And if not, should we abandon society as we know it? Which is a fair point if you look at the state of the world today.
It bad. It do be bad, though.
It do be kind of bad, though.
Yeah, like, it's quite an interesting ideology, I must say. It's like really, really far... It's like progressivism reversed. I can't pronounce that today for some reason.
I shouldn't be making fun of another person's speech impediment.
It's fine. There's some words I'm like... I have no idea.
We should chat about it. Mackenzie Breacher apologises formally for that.
I finally shouted you out on this podcast.
Well, I did
He's
it,
been
but
asking.
It's okay.
I didn't even know you were referring to the person.
Basically, yeah, there's this guy.
No, we're not
we
going
to.
No, 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 no. Don't explain it.
Thank you, Breacher.
Let's tell the story.
No.
But he's the type of person to make fun of a star. And then
Sam, going back to
primitivism. We're not going to talk about that story. For your sake, we just saved you. I was going to think, okay, how can we contextualize it in the political spectrum? But you can't really, because it actually calls for an end to the idea of political spectrums as we know it today. So yeah, it doesn't really fit on a kind of an axis like that. Yeah, what do we think? If we could...
It's an outlier, if you want to go statistics for it, yeah.
If you... What do we think, guys? If we could... If that... Say it were possible, we could, you know, flick a switch, snap our fingers, and reset society back to a primitive state, pre-societal state, would we do it?
No.
No. Explain.
If we could go back to medieval times, where with me as the monarch, yes.
Okay, but, no, it's because different... Not the question.
it would remove the fundamentals that we've experienced. We've experienced nothing else but society. Mm-hmm. And that society is very important to have that kind of connection with other human beings. If you reset it to that time, there's no technology. It's harder to do everything. You're more likely to die. The standard of living is much worse. It's dangerous. Mm. It doesn't seem like a better world.
Okay.
We should be moving forwards, not backwards.
Totally agree. Brisha, what do you think?
Apart from with economics, but you know.
It would be cool to, you know, go back and just, like, vibe. But would we, like, so, you know, we wake up tomorrow and, like, all the houses are, like, gone? Or would
you can't have houses, you can't have that. It's living...
Caves.
It's hunter-gatherer societies.
But, like, would it be, like, you know, we just woke up tomorrow, kind of like Truman Show-esque, where we're, like, putting, like, a little hunter-gatherer society type
box? Yeah, I think it's...
And then, like, eventually, like, everyone would, like, work towards that. I don't know. But could I still wear clothes?
Yes.
Okay, then yeah, sure.
But they have to be, like, made of furs and stuff.
Well, I could, like...
You know, the Flintstones?
I'm sure they had cotton.
This is where...
You think they produce cotton on cotton mills?
If we had this plan, this is where we...
Primitive societies! Get the machinery going! Yes.
This is where we played the Flintstones music. I can't remember... I know the tune, but I can't remember the words.
Just go with the tune and me and Sam will clap along.
I can't remember. I can't whistle. It's like...
I feel like this is way too slow.
Yeah, that's way too slow. I'll see if I can find it. Yeah.
Do a Flintstone waltz or something.
Yeah, think of the Flintstones music.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's our solution for it.
Oh, she's like trying to YouTube it right now.
No, we don't need that in our lives, actually, I'll be honest.
Well, you say that, Sam.
Maybe we do. Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows, indeed.
Okay. Yeah, I think all I would say on primitivism, I would agree. Probably, I agree with Brisha in that I think it would, you know, it would be interesting and there would be cool aspects to it. But I think fundamentally, I've become, you know, very reliant on society. And I don't know. I call me an optimist, but I think society could be restructured to be more sustainable and functional. So,
okay, Sam.
I know, it's a pretty...
That's
cringe,
a Marxist
bro.
Lie.
Society is a Marxist lie. Yeah, so I wouldn't. But I think it's an interesting one. And I'm yet...
Oh, I got so confused there.
You join us now to receive our regular broadcast here at Politibabble, where we'll be discussing ideologies, wacky nonsense, ha ha ha. Okay, Archie, that's enough of that now.
Yeah, that is back to the primitive era.
Yes, okay.
Off we go.
Would we get the little Flintstones car?
No.
On that... We need to bring out our jingles, actually.
I mean, on that total kind of, you know, subversion of my authority on my final point, brings us to high authority. Archie.
Yes, I'm the high authority here. Thank you very much. Welcome to the new
dictator Archibald.
Eco-fascism, Archie. What's that about?
Yes, I know that's our next wacky ideology.
Eco-fascism by an eco-conservative, ladies and gentlemen. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to hear this.
Yes.
I mean, unless you go back and replay it.
No, it gets deleted after you listen to it.
Brisha, who knows about going reback? You shouldn't tell them.
This is live, ladies and gentlemen. Live right now from the studio.
Yeah, live right now.
I wish.
I'm sitting here right now speaking on constant repeat whenever you press play.
Yes, correct.
That would be scary, just have Archie constantly speaking.
Archie's not trapped in the studio, he's trapped in the video. He's actually been downloaded into your computer.
Sam.
Wouldn't that be scary? That's some Black Mirror
reference
stuff right
to last week. Reference to last week. Of course. Eco-fascism.
Thatcherism.
That would be good. Thatcher was
not the first person to get Thatcherism and fascism confused. It's all right. Don't worry, Archie. It happens to all of us. They're almost indistinguishable. It's fine.
Eco-Thatcherism is actually good because Thatcher was the first leader to bring up climate change on a global level. Mm-hmm. Eco-fascism, on the other hand, is totally different.
Also supported apartheid, but whatever.
It is the theoretical model in which an authoritarian government would require individuals to sacrifice their own interests to the organic whole of nature.
Mm-hmm. Now, it should be also stated that that's not the sum of eco-fascism, because it is fascism, which is a fairly expansive ideology based, created by Mussolini and based on the Italian term is fascismo, yeah?
Probably. Yeah, this is the definition given by an environmental historian, Michael E. Zimmernum, which is kind of, he defines it then as a totalitarian government that requires individuals to sacrifice their interests for the well-being of the land, the hive, as Dominic Cummings would say in the image, understood as the suspended web of life or the organic whole of nature, including people and their states.
Examples of this would include killing people in order to curb overpopulation.
And he says that while no eco-fascist government has existed important aspects of it can be found in the German National Socialism, one of the whose central slogans was blood and soil. Obviously, the Nazis, they don't implement it.
And also, I would just because I want to address this really quickly, the term National Socialism is first and foremost a contradiction.
Yes.
Socialism is inherently unnationalistic, and to combine the two totally derails it. Actually, and if you research it yourself, the incorporation of the word socialism into National Socialism was Hitler's attempt to, in his mind, take back what socialists had stolen, with the idea of unity of class. So he loathes socialists, and they're not socialists. So please don't say that. I've forgotten what it is, but there's a book that has a really interesting interview, a British interviewer interviewing Hitler about it.
Big H.
And I'll remember it for next time, hopefully. And then
We should do a book club.
We should.
If you want to participate in a book club, let us know.
It's really interesting.
We should actually just start doing that. You're having a Blitz Babble book club. Don't stop it.
Have you... Sam's birthday last week, if you watched.
If you didn't listen to the last episode.
Which you should.
A gift he received was Churchill by Boris Johnson.
Yeah. That is actually quite a good book.
The reviews on the back are so funny. Because they're like the most backhanded. They're like, Boris Johnson successfully weaves his narrative.
Have you read it yet?
I haven't finished. I've started it, but I haven't finished.
The pictures are very good.
I'll tell you what, it's got Winston Churchill in a bathing suit. Also, Winston Churchill being waited upon by ethnic minorities that have been forced to serve the British Empire.
We don't know anything about that.
There was a picture of him in a bathing suit,
which
superior.
Is superior. I mean, he's pretty thin.
Sexy.
But moving aside from that, he's
moving
a chunk.
Back to eco-fascism.
Oh yeah, eco-fascism. Winston Churchill, he brings it full circle. Go.
Exactly. Well, Winston Churchill was against fashion, but eco-fascism,
he's actually very anti.
There are aspects of it which I can agree with. Obviously not the fascism part, but obviously the eco-fascism.
Can we actually get a total condemnation of fascism?
Huh?
Please.
There are always good aspects of everything. Nothing is totally 100%.
Okay, I'll ask you again. Can I get a condemnation of fascism?
Well, I condemn fascism, but you can't condemn
that was for your
all of fascism.
Archie, that was from me to you. That was for your sake.
Thanks. But eco-fascism, the good aspects of it is sacrificing one's needs above the environment. So you sacrifice yourself for the environment. Not like you're killing yourself. You just maybe sacrifice you driving a car.
I don't know what kind of cult this is.
Or you sacrifice, you know, flying a plane. Or, you know, it's creating that formation of a state, of a people, of a nation, putting the environment first. Obviously, it's then done through authoritarian means and by maybe mass murder, which isn't the good aspect.
Propaganda.
I'm going to go out, and I appreciate you might want to do something similar. I will just say I totally condemn it in all its forms. It is totally unacceptable in any form, in any way, in any place. That's all.
Fair enough.
There are good parts and bad parts to everything. So.
thank you, Richard, for agreeing there. So, authoritarianism is also there.
Yeah. It's very similar.
It's a form. But I'd say eco-authoritarianism is much better than eco-fascism overall.
I mean, sure. It's so tricky because the debate of the line of authoritarianism is again quite a tricky one. There are some people who argue that to have a state at all is authoritarian.
If you haven't noticed, this podcast, everything is tricky.
Yeah.
And we try to break it down for you. If you get confused, send us a message and we'll be sure to help.
Yeah. But
or Sam might. I'm not.
No. Archie's not a people person.
The conservative way.
Yeah. I think best way to say it is authoritarian generally just means more government authority.
Big yeah, boy. Exactly. and we have some interesting anarcho contradictions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wanna
to that authoritarianism?
Anarcho capitalism, which
ooh,
is
yes.
It's a hot take.
Hot take. The anarchists also agree with Peter Kropotkin's comment. Basically,
that's loud.
Oh, sorry. Basically,
Brisha has not done her homework.
You can... I'm trying to read it. I didn't wear my glasses today again.
And you didn't do your homework.
Well, do you want to read that and I give like an opening statement?
Yeah, sure.
I think that's an hour's attention for Brisha here.
I think, yeah. We'll,
only if you're
see Archie after
sat
class.
Next to me.
Oh, Archie turned my mic off.
I clicked the wrong button.
Fascist. Anyway, so anarcho-capitalism is very broadly a political ideology which calls both for the abolition of the state while in keeping, unlike most anarchists and anarcho-communists, while maintaining the system, the economic system of capitalism. The reason we call this section anarcho-contradictions is because it's an entirely contradictory ideology. Capitalism inherently forming hierarchical structures based on economic class and wealth and many other factors really makes it kind of incompatible with...
Exactly.
So to say you're an anarcho-capitalist is ridiculous. Basically what you're saying...
With anarcho, anything is contradiction. Anarchism itself
is not. Anarcho-communism is slightly different because the anarchists and the communists famously... were quite unified in...
Spain?
In the Spanish Civil War, and just generally. And anarchism is more left-leaning. It is true that authoritarian communism, which kind of the typical that you would see in Soviet-era Europe and things like that, is fully incompatible because a belief... I think it was Engels who wrote that to abolish the state immediately after a revolution would rob the proletariat of the only weapon they had to help restructure their society. So there is that debate among, is it counterproductive to destroy the only framework you have for effecting change? Obviously, anarchists disagree, but it's more complex. But anarcho-capitalism is just, it's people who want money to be the determining factor in the world, you know?
Yay.
Which I'm sure is...
Anarcho-nationalism is my new favourite thing.
Don't even get me started on anarcho-nationalists.
There's like a little thing about...
Anarchists, just to briefly run through that, I feel like I'm over loads of people.
Run through that. Watch last week's episode, Breaking It Down 4, and we'll move on to anarcho-nationalism.
Yeah.
Shout out there to episode 4.
Yes.
Basically, it's not recognised by anarchists or anarchism's anarchist scholars. Well, I mean, it's a very, very big contradiction.
So no.
So
do you, Archie?
Yes.
It's like saying,
big man.
I hate the Queen, but the Queen.
Yeah, it's
is great.
Okay, a hot take.
I wouldn't say it's hot take. It's just a truth.
Okay, boomer.
I'm not a boomer either.
No, I know.
I'm younger than you, Sam.
It's because your soul is so
and
much
then
older.
Anarcho environmentalists, which, I mean.
That's more reasonable. That's less of a contradiction.
That's
similar to primitivism.
In order to implement it, you need some sort of government.
That was Engels' main issue that he took with it was. He believed, which not unreasonably, that the only way to affect the kind of change that the far left was looking for was through a structure that was state-like. I think it's possibly why in the early 20th century and late 19th century, syndicalists, which is another one entirely, which is about replacing the state with smaller syndics based on union action and things like that, was more popular because it provided a state alternative. But then there's also anarcho-syndicalism, which is a a whole other thing.
There's lots of subgenres to subgenres.
Yeah.
If you want a nice, quite a few days reading, go to the Wikipedia article on anarchism, and there's a whole load of links right there for you.
I love how this podcast is meant to explain it to people, but we're just like, just read Wikipedia.
We give the references, pretty sure. We give the references. And if you do want anything explaining, the Political Babble team is open all hours, apart from me, who's never open, but you know, go speak to the team.
Yes, I'll get the intern on it.
Ah, yes.
Philip, answer our emails, please.
Mm. Yeah. If you are interested in anarchism, pretty sure actually got me a book for my birthday.
Yes.
It's by Noam Chomsky. Is that how you pronounce it? Apologies if I got that wrong. And it's called On Anarchism, and it's very, very good.
Yes, I also got a Jeremy Corbyn book.
But... He did. I haven't started reading that yet, because it's too emotional.
Oh, dear. Yes.
Anyway, speaking of Jezza.
I think that's safe for the newscast, pretty sure.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
You should watch right now. Watch this episode's finished.
I know, it should be all out on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, which you're probably watching this on. So thank you so much for watching.
Yes, thank you. We hope you had a good time. We loved it.
And on that disappointment, it's time to end using a grand tour phrase. Thank you so much for watching and good night.
Good night.
Or whenever you're watching it.